Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Fin Out of Water. Today is your host, Rod Mann, here live, hailing from Massachusetts. If you're a first-time listener or maybe someone who listens and might want to, you know, chime in on what we're talking about today, the number to call is 347-989-0591. I repeat, if you're a first-time listener or if you're someone who just wants to call in, you're welcome to call in at any time in the discussion. We give our listeners that freedom. 347-989-0591. And today we will be getting into the off seasons and expectations of the AFC and NFC North. Currently, it's just me. I should have some of the other guys on the panel coming in a little bit. I was supposed to do this yesterday, but something came up, so I had to, unfortunately, kind of at the very last minute, push it today. So hopefully some of the other guys can join us. But in the meantime, I'll get us started just talking about a few things. I guess I'll start with the AFC North. And the AFC North, for most of the last few years, the AFC North has been one of the best divisions in the NFL. The Pittsburgh Steelers, the Cincinnati Bengals, and the Ravens have been continually just knocking each other around for this division. The Browns ended up being what you expected the Browns to be, but for most of the season, especially throughout the beginning, the Browns looked like a pretty solid team. They're just one of those teams that showed you that with good quarterback play and maybe, I don't know, a dump truck load of receivers, they could end up being a decent team. So, but you know, as we all know, the Browns still have a long way to go. I mean, we all saw how Johnny Manziel played. Oh my God, Johnny Football was so awful. And I know he's a rookie. So, you know, everybody always says that, you know, you got to give rookies time. Well, nowadays it's not even like that, because nowadays they're plugging rookies in from the get-go, and they're playing well from the beginning. I mean, rookies aren't balling per se, but I mean, you know, they started off. I mean, I think about some of the previous rookies prior to Johnny Manziel, including some of the guys in his class, and just nobody looked as horrible. And this guy rode the bench. He rode the bench, you know, for most of the season. And when you ride the bench for most of, like, I get it, you know, when you get into the game, obviously things change. But I mean, dude, he had all season, and, you know, to study up, you know what I'm saying? Like when Johnny Manziel played, it didn't even seem like he knew what was going on. the few games that he did get in, I mean, he would come in, and he just looked like every time they go to practice and they read the playbook, he has, like, a Playboy magazine, in front of him. Like, you know how you see in the movies where someone will be, like, reading a book in a classroom and they have, like, a magazine or something else they're reading, you know, in front of the book, in front of the textbook. That's what he was doing with his playbook, obviously, because when he touched the field, he didn't know what he was doing. So, crazy enough, Johnny Manziel is not even all of the Browns' worries, but we'll definitely delve into them. I didn't really want to start with them. I thought about Johnny Manziel. I mean, I guess at this point it doesn't matter. But I'll start this one off with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we could take a look at some of the moves that the Pittsburgh Steelers made this offseason to better their team. The Steelers are one of the teams that they don't do a lot of free agency. They did end up picking up D'Angelo Williams to back up Le'Veon Bell, which, you know, that makes sense. You know, they didn't really pick up, I mean, outside of, you know, D'Angelo Williams, there was nothing really noteworthy that they did in terms of getting free agent players. Draft-wise, the Pittsburgh Steelers, they had a pretty okay draft. They got themselves, hopefully someone that will be able to rush the passer. What's his name? Bud Dupree. Sorry about that. They got themselves a cornerback. In Sanquez Golson, I mean, their draft, you know, I mean, the Steelers were a team that they need a little help on defense, so they went defense first. Crazy to say that, especially if you're a big football fan and you know the history of the team. You know, the Steelers are known to be an offensive team. I mean, I'm sorry, a defensive team. And in their history, I mean, the Steelers have been known to be, even in actually the Big Ben era, they've been a defensive team. But it's funny, in the early years, the Steelers were a team that used to kind of carry their quarterback. I mean, Ben has always been a pretty good quarterback. He doesn't get a lot of love as most of the other elite quarterbacks do, which is weird. But the guy got two Super Bowl rings, and he made it to a third one and lost. So, I mean, you got to give the guy some credit, you know what I mean? He's definitely one up there with the top five, top six quarterbacks, and he doesn't get a lot of flack. And I mean, if you look at Ben Roethlisberger's numbers, especially from last season, the guy had a great year. He tied first in yards in the league, 44,952 yards, you know, and he averaged eight yards per he averaged 8 yards per attempt, which is pretty good. He had 32 touchdowns. He had 9 interceptions. Quarterback rating of 103.3. You know, Big Ben, he definitely played very well last season. He was one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL in terms of how well he played. A big part of that was Le'Veon Bell. And I mean, Le'Veon Bell is actually just a short amount of time, he's the heart and soul of that team, specifically on the offense. And if you look at the Steelers, you look at all the players that they already have. I mean, as long as Ben Roethlisberger and Le'Veon Bell, and you got Antonio Brown, who broke out. He was the best receiver in the league last season, hands down. I don't think anybody's going to argue that. Some people will argue overall, but I mean, Antonio Brown had an outstanding season. And offensively, we know that the Pittsburgh Steelers, if they got all their guys, they're healthy enough. The offensive line can just, you know, they don't have to be all-stars, but if they can hold up just enough for Big Ben, we know what the Steelers' offense is capable of. I mean, they put up 50-some points on the Colts last year. Yeah, it's the Colts. They don't have defense. But, I mean, you know, Big Ben also had, like, didn't he have, like, two games where he threw, like, 500 yards? Like, that's the kind of offensive firepower, especially with Le'Veon Bell, that they have, you know? So, you know, the Steelers, what I expect from them, I expect the Steelers to be, and all of this is based on if the teams are healthy, relatively. You can't ask a team to be 100% healthy by the end of the year because football is such an extremely physical sport. However, I definitely expect Pittsburgh to be in the running, not just to win the division. I think Pittsburgh is going to be, they could be in the running to be at the top of the conference. You know what I mean? You got the Colts. The Colts can definitely oppose them based on just how crazy their offense is going to be. But, New England is always going to be in the picture as long as they have Tom Brady. You got the Denver Broncos who they're in the picture, but we don't know about Peyton. You know what I mean? Like, nobody really knows about, you know, Peyton's condition. I mean, he's aged. He was hurt last year. I mean, you know, at first everybody thought Peyton was just being old until we found out he was actually injured. But, I mean, being injured is a part of being old at this point, too. So, I mean, we don't know what we're going to get out of the Broncos. We don't know what new teams are going to step up. You know, I mean, could the Dolphins come up there, be a playoff contender? I mean, they've been good enough just not to make the playoffs the past 2 years. And we've improved pretty handily this past offseason. So, I think the Dolphins will make a play for there. But, in any case, I would say the Pittsburgh Steelers, if I were going to give them a record, you know, what I expect. As a matter of fact, before I even do that, I am going to take a look at their schedule. Because truth be told, I haven't even taken a chance to look at their schedule. Obviously, looking at a team's schedule isn't going to tell you everything you need to know about, you know, what they need to do. But, the schedule definitely does help, you know what I mean? So, definitely going to take a look at some of these NFL schedules and Let me see. Let's see what I can get for it. Get for these schedules. Team schedules. Let's see what we got here. Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm kind of interested in seeing who they play. So we look at Pittsburgh's. I'm looking at Pittsburgh's slate of games, and they look to have a pretty. They have a pretty beefed up schedule. They play a Brady-less, most likely New England, to start the season, and they get the 49ers, the Rams, the Ravens, the Chargers, the Cardinals, Chiefs, Bengals, Raiders, Browns, Seahawks, Colts, Bengals, Broncos, Ravens, Browns. So looking at Pittsburgh's schedule, I actually think their schedule looks pretty. I mean, their schedule is decently tough. They have a few teams in there like the Raiders. The Browns actually play the Pittsburgh Steelers pretty tough. That could end up being a split series. You got the Rams up there. They'll be pretty tough. I mean, outside of the Raiders, man, I don't really see any. The Raiders are the only team I could say that is going to be a give me win for the Pittsburgh. Oh, well, you got the Patriots, too, without Tom Brady. That's just going to be interesting, period. But, you know, outside of those two games, and maybe the 49ers, we all don't know what to expect from them. We don't know how they're going to be. Everybody expects them to be terrible, including me. So I guess we'll go with that. So Pittsburgh doesn't seem to have a lot of easy wins on their schedule, but I still think, I mean, look at the division. They'll at least split with the Ravens. They'll at least split with the Bengals, I think. At least, and I'm saying at least. They could probably sweep the Bengals. I don't know. It just seems like something that the Steelers would do. But with the schedule they have, I'll give the Steelers about 10 wins. They can definitely get 10 wins out of their schedule, you know, between all the teams that they play. It's going to be a tough schedule, and they better hope they have a healthy Ben and Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown for most of it, you know, specifically because of, you know, how solid most of the teams that they're going to be playing will be. But, I give the Steelers about a 10-6, 11-5 at best record. They're going to definitely have some hiccups with the schedule that they have, but they'll definitely win a majority of their games. I can definitely see that. So we've discussed the Pittsburgh Steelers, and, you know, they didn't make any splashes in the offseason. They just do what they always do. You know, they signed a quality depth signing in D'Angelo Williams. They had a decent little draft, drafted defenses in the first two rounds. You know, the Steelers are looking to improve on what they did last year. They didn't get a chance to have Le'Veon Bell in the playoff game, which definitely made a difference against the Ravens. So, that's the story that's what I think of the Pittsburgh Steelers in their offseason. I think they had a great offseason, or, you know, even that good of one, but I mean, they didn't mess anything up, man. In NFL or even in pro sports, period, if you didn't mess up, that's good enough. Next on the list, we're going to go to the next popular team in the division, and that is the Baltimore Ravens. And the Baltimore Ravens, my friends, they're another team that has been continually pretty damn good the past few years. They missed the playoffs, I want to say, it wasn't last year. It was the year before, I think. And they did lose Torrey Smith, and they lost Pernell McPhee. And they did trade away Haloti Ngata to the Lions. So they did lose a few guys. But, I mean, you figured Ngata probably wasn't playing as well as they figured he was, considering the money, you know, the huge cap number that he took up. They still have Justin Forsett on a cheap deal. And, you know, Kendrick Lewis should help them, you know, in the secondary, you know, at the safety position. So that's what they did in the in free agency. So we can take a closer look to see how the Ravens did in the draft. And, you know, Baltimore did pretty good. They drafted Breshad Perriman, who, you know, he was a media darling for a little while because of how fast he could run. I've heard and read good things about tight end Max Williams. So we'll see exactly how he's going to fit into the scheme that the Ravens are trying to do over there in Baltimore. They're definitely in need of a tight end with Dennis Pitta getting hurt every year, and them having to rely on, you know, has-beens like, you know, Owen Daniels. The Ravens definitely are in need of some more, you know, they're definitely in need of some more help on the offensive end, especially considering they just lost. Torrey Smith. Hey, what's going on, Greg?
Yes, sir. I'm in the building.
What's going on, sir?
Not much. How's it going for you?
Doing going well, man. Just got done actually talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers to the fans. It's just me right now, so I've just been doing this solo dolo, you know,
until
somebody popped on. But it'll be good. It'll be good to have someone else to share an opinion with. I'm talking about the Baltimore Ravens, Mr. Greg, and since you just decided to pop up, what are your thoughts on what they've done in the offseason so far, and how do they compare to not just their division, but the rest of the conference?
Okay, that's a very interesting question, my brother. Now, this year, during the offseason, I feel the Baltimore Ravens been looking like normal Baltimore Ravens. They don't make too much splash during the offseason, but they always have enough to just do enough. I've never really been a big fan of Joe, but he does enough. He doesn't make many mistakes.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
I mean, in the first half of the season, he usually plays horrible though. Like, you know, he usually starts the season off like, damn, bro, this man's a quarterback, and he gets better as it goes on, I guess. But go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, but when you get paid as much as he is getting paid, I really don't think they need to. I feel like they should be doing better.
For the Ravens?
They still straight. Okay. I just feel like they should be a more dominant team than they are. Last year, it was plenty of games they barely won, 5 or less.
Yeah. True.
All because the defense wasn't the normal Ravens defense. That's what a lot of people was talking about last year. The defense and the whole Ray Rice. And now they got to depend on what's the running back name? He's actually decent. I just can't remember his name.
Oh, Justin Forsett.
Yes, thank you. And then they have another one. I think he was a rookie last year.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I forget his name.
Yeah.
I forget his name. It's easy to
kind of a smaller back.
But Bernard Pierce? Was that him?
No, it wasn't Bernard. Yeah, it wasn't Bernard.
It was somebody else. It's all good.
But other than that, I definitely hope they have the linebackers to do what they need to do, and I don't know who their corners are.
Not many people
do.
I mean, honestly, they just plug and play people, man, and it works, to be honest.
Yeah,
man.
They're not a solid team right now, I feel, but they always do enough to do enough.
They do. It's crazy, but even with what they have, I tell you right now, man, when they won that, after they won that first, or before they won that first Super Bowl, you couldn't pay me to say that, you couldn't pay me to say that Joe Flacco was ever going to win the Super Bowl, man. Like, before he actually went out and won it. And he had one of the best. People never talk about it, bro, but the man legit had one of the best quarterback postseasons of all time. The man threw 11 touchdowns and no picks. I can't say that's the best one because I don't know for sure, but that's up there. You know what I'm saying? That's definitely up there, man. You know? But,
I remember what I said. He plays mistake-free football. He definitely plays mistake-free football.
Yeah.
Once he had a season where, like you said, he had that amazing postseason, no pick. All we're getting is a regular quarterback right now, man. We're not getting a franchise quarterback.
Yeah. I can see that. I still to this day don't understand why they paid him so much money. I mean, I understand he went out and got him a Super Bowl, but, I mean, the defense definitely – the defense wasn't like the usual Ravens defense, but they were pretty solid that year still. You know, but –
He
I'm just saying, you know, from that good defense that we've been talking about, but from that defense when they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. What about it?
How many players can you count that's left on that good defense? I can't remember.
Oh,
any.
Man. I mean, shit, man. Be honest with you, outside of like Suggs. I'm not sure if they had Dumervil when they won the Super Bowl. I don't think they did. I think Dumervil can in next year. Honestly, man, I think Suggs and like maybe a couple other dudes, man. Like maybe a couple D linemen. It's probably about it, man. To be honest, everybody else from that defense is gone, man. You know, for the most part. As far as I can remember, anyway. You know what I mean? In terms of the corners, some of the linebackers. We know Danelle Ellerby. I don't even know where he's at now. He's on the Saints. Whoop-de-doo, you know, shit, you know, I mean, well, so let me ask you this, considering, I mean, you have a pretty solid opinion of the Ravens, so what I'm going to do is, I'm going to look at their schedule, and I want you to tell me what you think they're going to do this season, like, in terms of, you know, I'll list the teams, I'll do it in halves. Like, I usually do list the teams before the bye week, give you some time to think, and then do the next ones. So, looking at the schedule for the Baltimore Ravens, they start the season off at Broncos. Then they're at Raiders. Then they have the Bengals at home. Then they're at Steelers for, I think it's Sunday Night Football.
They're 1-3.
You say they're 1-3 so far? You think they're
They're
so?
1-3. Yeah, and I'm going to be honest. A lot of people sleep on the Raiders. They're going to be one of those teams, like, you know how, like, last year, the Jaguars, everybody knew the Jags was going to be garbage, but they did better than everyone still expected.
Yeah, true.
That's going to be the Raiders this year. The Raiders going to win 4-5 games.
Yeah, I think the Raiders can win 6-7, to be honest with you. I'd like to welcome on another friend to the show. What's up, man? Ivan?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Yeah, what's going
how's
on?
Everyone?
What's going on, man?
What's going on?
Yeah. We good. But yeah, go ahead, Greg.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, I was telling the Raven schedule. Yeah, I forgot. So Ivan, since you're here, I'll ask your opinion of this too. We're talking about the Baltimore Ravens right now, with their schedule. I'll repeat it in case you didn't hear. They start off with the Broncos at Denver. They're at the Raiders. Then they're home against the Bengals. They're at the Steelers. That's their first four games. Then they have the Browns at home. They're at the Niners. They're at the Cardinals. Then they're home against the Chargers, and they have a bye week. So that's their first eight games, which, I mean, if you ask me, that's a tough first eight games, man. Because the only game I think that is you can't ever really say it's a definite in the NFL because it's any given Sunday. And even though Greg is showing the Raiders a lot of love, that's the weakest team that I see. Oh, no. I mean, the Browns are weak, but the Browns are a division rival, so they always play the Ravens pretty tough. So, yeah, outside of the Raiders.
I think the Browns are going to do very horrible this year. Browns might have first number one pick 2016.
That's a very big possibility, and we'll definitely be getting to them real soon. that's the first. The next half of their schedule, their bye week is positioned perfectly, too. It's like right in the middle of the season. That's weird. They have the Jaguars after the bye at home. Then they get the Rams at home. Then they're at the Browns. Then they're at the Dolphins. Then they're home against the Seahawks. Then they're home against the Chiefs. They're home against the Steelers. And they finish at the Bengals. Tough schedule, man. Oh. I think that's a tough schedule. So what do you guys – I asked Greg Greg.
Steelers are going to take both of their games. Steelers are going to take both of their games. They might split with the Bengals just because we all know the Bengals are definitely a hit and miss when it comes to if they're going to show up on Sunday or not.
Definitely.
So,
That team is schizophrenic as any.
Yeah, because you really don't know which Andy Dalton you're going to get. You know what, A.J. Green, you're going to get every game.
Right.
Andy Dalton might have one of them days. He want to be a redhead. fuck up everybody money and all that.
Yeah, you got a point. But keep going.
But I really, so based off of their schedule, they should at least go, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt and say 8-8, but they might be a 7-9 team.
You think the Ravens are going to be a 7-9 team? You believe that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's fair. That's a fair thought.
I think the Steelers got better. The Bengals got better. I feel like all the teams in their divisions got better.
That, you don't think
that
they
six
got
games accounted for right there. And then let alone, you got to think about who they got week one. We all know that's a no-go.
The Broncos?
Yeah, they're not going to beat the Broncos.
They got the AFC West. If you want to think about it in terms of just overall, they get the AFC West and the NFC and the NFC West.
They get the Chargers, the Raiders. They're not gonna beat the Chargers either.
They didn't beat the Chargers last year in a game they should have won, which is interesting. I mean, it could go either way, man. To be honest, in that game, I think. But 8-8. 7-9, is that your final answer, man?
Yeah, that's definitely my final answer.
So, Ivan, what are you thinking, Ivan? What is your outlook on the Baltimore? You didn't get a chance to give your outlook like Greg did. So, what's your outlook on the Baltimore Ravens this offseason? And how do you think they're going to do, not just in their division, but in the conference this season?
Well, I honestly think the Ravens are one of those weird teams that even when they look bad on paper or you think everyone else, you know, they always just have a way of still being on there at the end of the year, no matter what. No matter how bad they do, they always have a chance at the end of the year.
Always.
It's one of those things that's always, like I said, very streaky. Just like the Bengals, but I think much better. I still think they're going to go 10-6, maybe 11-5, but I see more of a 9-7, 10-6. Just because there's always a whole bunch of really, really tough wins they squeeze out. They always split with the Steelers, no matter what. And, you know, even though everyone else got a little bit stronger, they always play. They're the toughest person. That, like, oh, you think, oh, the Ravens are 2-5 right now. And then you look a couple of weeks later and they're, you know, 7-7. And you're like, well, how did that happen? So It's they're always one of those teams. I think it comes down to coaching and it comes down to defense. And the colder the weather they get, the better they play. So I think that, especially going down the stretch, they might have a little bit rough early, like you said. But they're not going to have a crazy rough to where they can't make the playoffs. And I'm a Joe Flacco supporter, so I'll take Flacco over Dalton any day. I don't think he's going to make the playoffs this year.
I think this is
the fall of a couple of teams. I don't think the Bengals are going to be like crazy good this year. I think this might be that year that they just gave up on Dalton. I don't know why I have a feeling the Broncos aren't going to be good with that whole Kubiak system. I don't know. I don't know. I have a little more faith in them.
I mean, you know, that's fair. There's a lot of questions. There's a lot of questions to these teams.
Yeah, it's fair. I agree. I actually, a lot of what you said, I said the same thing. I just don't think they're going to be able to pull it out. I feel like the Bengals defense got better. I know I'm going back to division games, but those are going to be the games that the Ravens have to win.
Yeah.
If they don't, definitely, like you said, they're going to have a tough first half of the season. The second half of the season looks pretty easy. But that first half of the season looks very tough. And they got to play some real-deal football in order to keep up.
Yeah, and there's certain things that, you know, like you said, they still didn't have a couple of questions.
Yeah.
Who's their, like, their quarterback situation hasn't been good the last couple of years.
Right, right.
There's
that's
a couple
true
things to address, so we'll see.
We'll definitely see. Well, speaking of Andy Dalton, since, you know, we are talking about the AFC and NFC North today, we could jump right into the Bengals. Actually, you know what? Before we jump into the Bengals, I'm going to give you guys both, because I got the chance to talk about the Steelers before anybody hopped on. So I'm going to, you know, I'm sure that's a team that maybe you guys might have wanted to talk about. So I'm going to tell you what I thought about the Steelers. I said, just to give a summary, as long as they have Ben, Le'Veon Bell, and Antonio Brown, they're probably going to be the class of that division if those guys stay healthy. And I think that the Steelers will probably go around 10-6. I think they'll take the division. I think they'll be one of the tougher teams in the conference. So, Ivan, since you just got on, and I allowed Greg to go first last time, Ivan, what do you think about the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I think I agree with you. They are the class of that division, for sure. I don't believe I think they have a lot of the same problems the Ravens do, actually, which is kind of funny. The defense is going to be the one problem. You know, they're still shifting from having to lose all the older guys and all the guys that they had in between, so the position didn't really work out.
Right.
But I think they're it's weird, because even though through this whole transition, they're still actually kind of young right now, and they have probably one of the better receiving corps in the league. It's going to take up the offense to carry them, and I honestly think they're going to be in the playoffs no matter what.
Fair thought, my man. And Greg, what about you?
I agree with everything. I feel like the Steelers will be the team to beat in that division, hands down. For one, you got Big Ben, you got Martavius Bryant, Antonio Brown, and their running back situation got better. Like, I really don't see any fault with the Steelers right now, other than their defense, which I don't feel like they lost enough to say that they won't be the top team. They won't be the team to beat in that division.
Fair enough. That's fair. Fair thoughts. So,
there's not really much to say about them, because they're that good to me right now.
Yeah.
That's fair. That's a fair thought. So it seems that the panel currently on the show, we all agree that the Steelers will be the class. So we all talked about our opinion of the Ravens. I didn't give a record, but I was going to give the Ravens just a little more love than Greg did. I was going to lean more towards 8-8, 9-7. I was leaning more towards 9-7, just because they have to deal with the Steelers and the Bengals, who we're about to get to right now. And Greg, what do you think so far about the Bengals offseason, and where do you think they are going to rank in the division and in the conference?
So, with the Bengals they have, I don't know, it's something about the Bengals. They have a guaranteed record anywhere between 9-7 and like 11-5.
Yep.
it's guaranteed. That's going to be their record somewhere in there. Every year, as long as they have AJ, Andy, Jeremy, Gio. It's not too many teams with all those weapons. The only downfall about the Bengals is really, to me, Andy Dalton. That's their downfall. And he's not a bad quarterback. He just doesn't have enough to support the cast that they have.
I don't know, man. They have a pretty solid supporting cast, man. I feel like he should be able to do something with all those weapons, man. I mean,
it has to be Andy, because they have too many weapons for them not to be a top-tier team at all times.
He said at all times, and that's the problem with the Bengals. Definitely the problem with the Bengals is keeping some consistency. Speaking of Andy Dalton, before I allow Ivan to tear into the Bengals, which I'm sure he doesn't mind, I want to just take a look at Andy Dalton's numbers, man. He ranks 16th among quarterbacks if you rank them by yards, which that's not really that big a deal. But the guy had 19 touchdowns to 17 picks, man. Those are some bad numbers, man, for a quarterback, man. Not in this day and age, not with the team that they have. not he can't be throwing damn near one touchdown to one pick ratio. That's horrible. You know what I mean? And to be fair to Andy Dalton, even though I don't like him much as a quarterback, he had a good season the year before. He threw like 30-some touchdowns. So now we're looking at, based off what he did last season. So, Ivan, what is your thoughts on, you know, what the Bengals did this offseason so far and where they stand coming up in the NFL this season? Coming up.
Let me see. Well, the thing is, I'm looking at their schedule. I'm counting how many losses they're going to have just based off of how many primetime games they have. So that's 4 losses right there. then, you know, they got some tough matchups. So, but no, seriously, like you said, they're going to be one of those teams that no matter what the record's always going to be there. The thing is, it's always how they lose. When they lose, they don't lose small. They lose humongous. And when they lose, it's always on Andy. I don't think I've seen one of the really bad losses where Andy has a good game and they still have a problem. It always comes down to him, no matter what. Like I can't remember a one where the whole team just fell apart. As far as what I think they're gonna do, I feel like this might be the year that he goes full Mark Sanchez, bro. I'm not lying. It might be the year. It's
full Mark Sanchez, man. You feeling that from?
Damn. As far as what they did over the offseason, I'm trying to pull up their draft, but I can't remember because I can't remember what the free agents were. I don't remember looking too much at the Bengals when the offseason happened.
Well, they did go O-line quite a bit to start the first two picks. Were offensive line in the draft with Cedric Ogbuehi and Jake Fisher on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
So they're definitely trying to shore up that offensive line. I mean, damn, if they shore up that offensive line, the outside of quarterback, they're really not going to have any weaknesses, to be honest.
That's the one thing. That's like that would be the smartest thing for them to do. So you know what? I'll give them an A+ if that's all they did. if you're gonna try to win games,
pretty...
you're gonna try to take out Andy Dalton as much as possible. Then hey, I'm all for it. I mean, I really do like Jeremy Hill, though. You know how much I loved him. I drafted him in our little fantasy draft. I like the way he runs. I like the way that he is. Hugh Jackson makes an awesome fit for any running back. They're going to be still running that two-back system, so I think that's great if that's what they do. And their defense is always strong. You know, they always have a couple little gaps, but I think they're going to be strong. And as long as they keep the ball out of his hands, I think they have a chance. But no matter what, in the playoffs, it doesn't really matter. we all see him having a decent year, right? Not bad, not great. No 15-1, no nothing like that. But none of us have him winning the Super Bowl.
Ever.
Or a contender. It's just kind of weird for such a good team to not even be in the conversation. Are they going to get a win? I don't know. If they can't beat the Texans in the playoffs 2 years in a row, I don't know, man. I mean, it's not going to happen.
I mean, you know, it's the I think with the Bengals, the one thing that we can all agree on and the one thing that we are all aware of is that the Bengals, man, they're one of those teams, like, it's like you see it in every sport. You'll see it in basketball. You'll see, if you watch baseball, you definitely see it in baseball. It's just there are some teams that just, when they are just mentally weak, when they don't have a strong mental fortitude, when things get real and start to fall apart, those are the teams that feel it the worst. And the Bengals is just one of those teams that have that, especially in prime time. Like last year, the only prime time game they won was a game where Peyton Manning threw 4 picks, and that was just him being old and hurt. So, I mean, let's say they get a real Peyton Manning. You know, that's likely, you know, 3 or 4 losses in prime time last year. You know, like they just don't perform when they should perform at their biggest. Like on the biggest stage, when they should show out the most, the Bengals don't. Like, the Bengals will have a game where they hold a team to, like, 3 points on a 1 o'clock on a Sunday, and it's an impressive performance because, You know, even though their offense might not have gotten going, their defense was, mm-hmm. is always usually impressive. But, like, you know, they go on prime time. Like, I remember last year when everybody thought the sky was falling for the New England Patriots, who ironically win the Super Bowl that same year. I remember their first victim. Who was their first victim when Tom Brady said, fuck it, I'm about to rape everybody? The Bengals. And the Bengals got raped. I remember watching that game because I was talking so much crap to all my coworkers at JetBlue at the time. And I was just telling them so – I was just like, yeah, man, Bengals are about to give it to y'all in the butthole. You know what I mean? Because, you know, Tom Brady was coming off that horrific game against the Chiefs. And I was like, man, if the Chiefs did that to y'all, then the Bengals are going to – and then what did the Bengals do? They get raped. I mean, if they lose is one thing. They got raped. So it's just the thing with the Bengals, man, if they could just ever find that mental toughness that could get them through the stretches where they become mentally just inept, they'd be a contender. That's really, I mean, you could say that if they had a quarterback, that's probably what they need the most, and it is. But, I mean, even with a guy like Andy Dalton, you know, there are guys like worse than Andy Dalton that have won Super Bowls with teams that have talent like the Bengals. So, mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess it's just something that we have to wait and see, you know?
Yep.
But, in any case, I'm pretty sure that, you know, you guys have anything else to add on the Bengals, man? You guys want to move on to the Browns?
I was just looking at some of the free agent signings that the Bengals have been doing. I didn't know AJ Hawk left the Packers, but apparently the Bengals signed them for a free agent.
That's a decent move. But go ahead.
Let me see. When it comes to the Browns, it's just sad to see certain people's careers wasted upon one franchise all their career. So shout out to Joe Thomas. I feel bad for you, man.
it's colorful.
I want them to be good. I really do want them to be good. And I like some of the guys that they got. Little Duke Johnson from Miami. I love that guy. All right. Like they got some players. They're trying to beef up the defense even more. But just the fact that they have Johnny Manziel, or who's the other starting, what am I saying? It's either
they
Johnny
had
Manziel,
Hoyer. They had Hoyer, but Hoyer went to no, they have McCown now. That's who they have. They have
McCown. That's who I was thinking. It's either one of those two guys starting with a wide receiver set of Andrew Hawkins, Miles Austin. And what? That's it, I think. And I think they got
Brian Hartline too, man. Don't forget my dog.
And Brian Hartline, yes. It's that core, if you want to call it a core. It's disgusting. I'm sorry. There's no way they're gonna be able to throw the ball. It's literally gonna be one of the ugliest teams to watch the whole year. Oh, and they got Dwayne Bowe. And they turned Terrell Pryor to a receiver. So it's going to be the ugliest games because everyone's just going to load up the box. These poor running backs are going to have to jump into the Lions then, and they're going to have to force whoever the quarterback is for the second year in a row to throw on third and long because you know they're going to run the first two downs no matter what. they're going to be one of those teams that score off of weird gadget plays, trick plays, having Johnny Manziel run the option. They're going to score 10 points a game. And it's going to be those games where it's like baseball where someone wins 1-0. It's going to be ugly football in Cleveland, man. It's going to be – I don't know. It's and they don't even have their tight end anymore. This year they have their people are Gary Barnridge, Rob Housler, or Jim Dre. Those are their top three tight ends. So I don't know.
Man.
I don't know what to tell you, man. It's going to be some really, really bad football to watch. I don't know. Maybe 4 wins, maybe. Just on the defense. You have to give the defense credit. 5, maybe.
5. Yeah, their defense. Yeah, that's the one thing that's kind of legit. Their defense is inconsistent, I think, because they don't have an offense. Like, if you're a defense and you're good, I don't blame you if you have off games just because what's the point of playing so hard for, you know, 60 minutes every Sunday and the occasional Monday and Thursday when your offense is literally you get a front row seat to watch your offense do nothing. Like that to me,
nothing.
Like that,
nothing.
I can't even imagine how a defender feels. You know what I mean? Especially how hard they have made it for the defenses in the modern day NFL. You know what I'm saying?
If you look at their schedule, after the first three games, it's the toughest thing I've ever seen in my life. After the first three games, starting week four, San Diego, Baltimore, Denver, St. Louis, Arizona, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cincinnati, San Francisco, Seattle, KC, and then Pitt.
Woo!
So
damn, boy.
The first three weeks, if you want to look at bad football, they play the Jets week one at New York. They play Tennessee at home, and they play Oakland at home. So if you want some bad football, this is your chance. Because if they don't go 3-0 at the beginning of the year to get the fans some hope, everyone's going to be crying and firing everybody in Cleveland. It's about to be really bad.
Oh, man. That's fucking...
And they better pick a wide receiver next year to go with Josh Gordon if he comes back. So they need to get that guy a cage that does not smell like marijuana or does not tempt that man with marijuana. They need to... Their whole offseason should literally be... Is Josh Gordon going to be here next year? We need to make sure that happens because this year is gone. There's no chance. So.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, Josh Gordon, man, he messed it all. He messed it all up, man. This dude, I don't understand. I don't understand what was going through his head, dude. All you got to do is just put the weed down, man. You're making millions of dollars, bro. Like, I know people who have they just make a salary and they put the weed down, dude. You're making millions of dollars.
Millions.
There's literally no excuse as to why. And the saddest part is, if you're going to do something like that, there are ways to protect yourself from, even if it's a random drug test. I mean, if you're going to do it, you'd have to be willing to make the sacrifice to keep some piss on you at all times or something. I don't know if they search these guys the way they do, like, other jobs or something. I don't know. The best thing to do is just don't smoke, dude, because you're making millions of fucking dollars. And Josh Gordon has potential to be – well, I'm not going to say he has potential to be an all-time great or anything like that, because we only saw one really great year from him. But, damn, that was a damn great year, you know?
And if you remember last year, they had a similar receiving corps. And then as soon as Josh Gordon came back, Brian Hoyer went, yes, I finally have someone to throw it to. And he literally threw away their last, like, six games at Josh Gordon, or four games. Because every time he had a pass, he'd be like, well, everyone's covered like usual. I'll just throw it to double-cover Josh Gordon 10 yards ahead and see if maybe he can catch it. That was literally the end of Brian Hoyer's career in Cleveland. It was, I finally have a receiver. I'm going to throw it to him every chance I get. So I don't even know what these guys are going to go through this year. They're going to look so bad. And you know how it's funny when you just see articles like, oh, this guy looks really good in camp. Don't buy a word from it, guys. If you see Michael Fabiano or one of these guys saying Andrew Hopkins is a guaranteed fourth rounder or something stupid, don't fall for it. Don't do it. They're not going to catch even 50 balls, any of them. They'll all be in the streets at the end of the year. So that's all I got to say, man.
Man, it's cool, man, because, you know, you have a lot of validity to what you said, man, especially considering that I think the Browns, if it wasn't for the fact that they had a good defense, I'd say they go 1-1-15, man. But with the defense they have, they'll win a good 4 or 5 games just off the strength of the defense alone. That's the Cleveland Browns in a nutshell. They're predicted to be the bottom of the division while the other three duke it out. I guess that's good on the AFC North. We'll head over to the NFC North now. And Ivan, I'll let you get. I mean, you get the first crack at. You can get a crack at whoever you want in the division, man. You got four
what division
teams. You take your pick. NFC North.
The NFC.
So
North.
You get to choose from
Chicago.
Packers.
Let's go with Chicago.
Let's go Chicago.
I gotta
start
with the Bears. How do you lose a whole season from one player messing up your whole team and then fire the coach? There's something wrong with that organization. I got to say it right now. There's something wrong with that organization. I know. Trestman wasn't a guy that, he had crazy experience or, Mike Shanahan or anything like that or a franchise builder. But if you bring a guy to fix a quarterback and that guy that's fixed a lot of quarterbacks and has history of making decent players look a lot better than they are can't fix your quarterback, why do you fire the coach?
It's a great question.
how he is still with that team is one of the craziest things I've ever seen in my life. I really, really, really don't understand it. I feel bad for Alshon Jeffrey, who's going to get double covered every game, but I know he's going to ball out. And I like the little guy that they got, the
Kevin White,
Wide receiver. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But if we're talking, literally every single team that we've talked about, I feel like we're talking about inconsistent teams. One year they give you one thing, and then the next year they give you something else. But we know this team's going to be one of the most inconsistent. what have they done to get better? You know, they had six picks. Yeah, six picks. They mixed it up a little bit of offense and defense, but they do have literally holes everywhere in the defense. So
it's all over.
I don't think. A lot of holes. There's a lot of things to like about them, but overall you can't have them really taking over the division or anything like that. I think they actually do probably worse than last year, around the same, and a lot of those losses where, you know, they lose by 40 points and they're at home. It's gonna be pretty bad. I have to say it's gonna be pretty bad for the Bears as well.
I gotta say, man, I definitely agree with you on that front, man. It pains me to say this to my boy Kurt, who I know he sometimes listens to the show. I'm sorry, man. I mean, your Bears is cold for him, man. Even though they lost Brandon Marshall, they sent him over to the Jets, and they got Eddie Royal to, I guess, help with the depth on their offense. It's sad. I mean, Jay Cutler is literally just another Andy Dalton type like player,
mm-hmm.
where you have Matt Forte, you have a solid tight end, you have a solid receiving core, you know what I mean? Like, who wouldn't want Alshon Jeffrey, Kevin White, and Eddie Royal? You know what I mean? To be they're starting three receivers in the NFL, and then you have a tight end and I always forget. Is it Martellus Bennett?
Martellus Bennett.
Tight end?
Yeah.
You have all these dudes, bro, and you can't do anything with them. That's incredible.
Yeah,
and I know Chicago's offensive line is suspect. Let me get that out there. Their offensive line is definitely suspect, but what's more suspect than them is Jay Cutler, you know?
Yep. And they got a couple more backup tight ends, too. They got Dante Rosario, that one guy that every year has one game with four touchdowns and disappears the rest of the year. They got Zach Miller that used to be on the Seahawks. And the weird thing is, you know how like everyone used to criticize them for getting older players during the Lovie Smith era? They always just get veterans for low. Which, you know, there's some teams that work just over. If you do it every single year, you just have an old roster. They have a similar thing going on this year. And I was just looking at the list, and, I mean, they got a... We got Jay Ratliff that used to play for the Cowboys. They got Antrell Roll that used to play for the Giants. They got Tracy Porter, the Super Bowl hero, Lamar Houston, Jared Allen. You know, like, they have a lot of guys that have quite a couple years in the league. There's a lot of question marks, especially for the future. How do they draft? How do they move forward? From after the next 2-3 years, it's going to be really important for that franchise.
Yeah, that's that. I can definitely agree with that. And just to add to that, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that once they get themselves a legit quarterback, the Bears actually have talent to be competitive. Within the division and in the conference. We all know the NFC is just loaded, period. But, what you see from Jay Cutler is what you're going to get. I think all of us are aware of that by now. Anybody that's not named the Bears organization is aware of this by now. But, I agree with most of everything you said, and definitely in a few years, we'll see how their drafts go. We'll see how they're able to set up the future of their team, but as long as they have a guy named Jay Cutler as their quarterback, I just don't see the Bears. If they make the playoffs, which is a big if, considering how loaded the NFC is, they're not a team that you could ever see going very far. Regardless,
especially
I don't even think they're going to finish
the Packers in your division,
right? And I don't even see them. I think the Vikings are going to be better than than the Bears, to be honest with you. Speaking of, we might as well just head on over to the Vikings. The Vikings were a team last year that actually surprised a lot of people with how well they were actually able to play. Teddy Bridgewater, in his rookie season, he only had, I mean, he didn't start. Matt Castle started, I think, I want to say he started the first couple, maybe first two, three games.
Uh-huh.
Teddy finished the season with 2,900 yards, 14 touchdowns, 12 picks, 85 quarterback rating. And, you know, for a rookie, I mean, that's okay. You know, I don't ever expect rookies to come out and ball. But people are definitely expecting big things from Teddy Bridgewater in his second year coming up. They got Mike Wallace, which might prove to be a good pickup for them. It didn't work for us because we don't have a quarterback that really uses the deep ball like that. But Teddy Bridgewater is the complete opposite. He throws a beautiful deep ball, and he has great downfield accuracy. So we'll see how that works out. They drafted a corner. They went very defense heavy to begin their draft. They got the top cornerback and Trey Wayans, that was in the draft. They got a good linebacker, a good college linebacker, I could say, and Eric Kendricks. I don't know. They got Danielle Hunter, who pretty decent defensive end. And, you know, they're definitely trying to make sure that defense is on point. The offense still is loaded with talent. They still got Cordarrelle Patterson, who we talked about the other day as being just that, you know, just that what happened guy. You know what I mean? Like, they don't even talk about him making a leap or anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly think that the Vikings, they got their coaches, I believe, Mike Zimmer. And I think he's a good coach, especially on the defensive side of the football. So I think the Bengals are going to be – I mean, not the Bengals. I think the Vikings are going to be – I think they'll be better than they were this past year. This past year they were what, like 7-9? I think they'll be better.
Yeah, just because AP is back.
You're right. And you know what's funny? I completely forgot about AP because he spent a whole year away from football, and that's the most important man. With AP back, with Teddy Bridgewater, with the offense they have, I would say the Packers and the Lions need to crack their knuckles, man, because they have another guy in the ring that can definitely throw it down. It's going to be a triple threat in that division for sure. Although we all probably have an idea of who we know is going to come out on top, but you know, football is a funny sport. You know what I mean? But but anyway, I'll just say that I think the Vikings are going to be. If I were to give them a record, man, I think they'll be at least 9-7. They'll have at least a winning record, I think. I think they're good enough to be that good. What about you, man? What are your thoughts on the Vikings this offseason and season coming up?
I think I have to agree with pretty much everything you said, that they have some interesting pieces. The only thing that is sad is their number one and two wide receivers, even with Patterson and Mike Wallace here. The guys will probably have the most yards at the end of the year. It'll probably be Charles Johnson and Jarius Wright, just because I don't really know what's wrong with Cordarrelle Patterson. Like, we talked about it, he doesn't run routes. He hasn't gotten better the way we expected him to. And we know Mike Wallace. He's going to have a couple of games. He's going to get mad by the end of the year. I don't think he's going to be happy there.
Because, you know, if he gets a rapport with Bridgewater, that's great. But we know he's only got 3-4 routes. And they're a run first team. He's gonna see maybe 6 looks a game. It's not a good place for a receiver that likes the ball to go with AP playing anywhere. So they're gonna be a run first team. They still like that kid McKinnon that they have last year. They're gonna use him every once in a while in 2-back sets, I think, or at least they should. Their defense is interesting and they're young and they have a couple of guys that are just really, you know, they just show up on certain plays where you need them. So
can't forget about Anthony Barr too.
Mm-hmm. They have a lot of interesting pieces. They're going to be one of those guys that there's another year for everyone to get experience. Maybe not make the playoffs, but get a lot of experience, be up there, contend. I think this is a growing team. Honestly, this is one of the few teams that actually do have a future as long as they don't muck up anything really, really bad. Getting AP was the most important thing, and they just locked that up the other day. So I can't wait to see him back on the field and just see where they go from here. But it's an interesting team for sure to watch.
Well, my man, what do you think record-wise, man? What you got for him? What's the verdict for him?
Let me look at the schedule real quick. Let me see
Let me see what we're working with. Of course, we know the division games. But as far as the rest of the year, they do play the NFC, the AFC West. They play the Chiefs, Denver, and then those teams to play Oakland. I see them actually pretty much splitting in the division. I don't know if they might beat the Packers once. Maybe they might lose both, but I think they'll definitely beat the other two teams. I can split with them. And then, the other games I see St. Louis, I see, Seattle, so 49ers, they play the NFC West as well, they play both of the West division. I'd say 10-6, 9-7. They don't really have that many crazy easy games. They don't have that many easy games, honestly. Oakland's the only one I see. They also play Atlanta, which is not easy, so.
Yeah, they definitely have, looking at their schedule, man, their schedule's actually pretty tough. Pretty tough.
Yep. I'd lean more towards 9-7, but they might have a shot at 9-10.
Yeah, I could definitely agree with that. I think 9-7 is a realistic possibility, just because you know they're going to struggle with the Packers. The Packers could definitely probably sweep them. They might split, but I think the Packers, they're good enough to where the Packers might sweep them. So if you take that into account and you look at they split with the Lions, they probably split with the Bears. I think they swept the Bears last year, but they might split this year. You know, division games are so unpredictable, you never know.
Yep.
But damn, man, you look at the rest of their schedule. I mean, to get both West divisions, I mean, they got to deal with the Chargers, Broncos, Chiefs, Cardinals, Seahawks, Rams. I mean, that's, whoo. And they get the Giants and the Falcons, which are two winnable games for them. And they beat the Falcons last year. So, I mean, you know what? 9-7, I can, yeah. We on point, man. I think we'll be correct, man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, football is such a funny sport, man, because we can say all this shit now and then season starts.
Oh, yeah. The Browns are 11-5.
Right. You know, it's crazy, but yeah, man, but we got two more teams that we can cover, so I'll let you take the final pick, man. I think we got the Packers and the Lions left, man. So
do the Packers really quick, cuz there's not much to talk about, honestly. There's not much to fix.
Right.
You know, they got some depth in the draft. Nothing crazy. They got the first two picks were for safety and a cornerback, which they usually struggle with. They have guys that aren't really, their whole defense is full of guys that do their job okay and at times shine bright, but overall they're eh, especially that whole secondary. We watching Herb see Sam Shield every time, he gets upset when he gets an interception. We know some of the guys that they have. In our opinions, aren't that great, but they overall as a unit, they get the job done. Probably going to use Clay Matthews in that new position the whole year. They're going to keep him probably a linebacker. I don't think he's going to go back to the line like he did. So that's going to be really good because he beasted it. He was actually, I think during the last couple of weeks that he played linebacker, he was the linebacker with the most sacks by a mile. So that's great for them. They're bye week 7. It's right in the middle of the year. And just like the other schedule, their schedule is tough. They play pretty much the same opponents that we just talked about with the Vikings. But as long as Aaron Rodgers doesn't break a leg or an arm, they're going to be in the playoffs no matter what. It's the projection playoffs. It doesn't matter. It's going to be over 10 wins.
They're
just that good.
I mean,
it's just ridiculous. It's that good.
You know, when it's the Packers, man, you could honestly fully expect them to win at least 11 to 12 games. 10 is always the safeguard. You know, with Aaron Rodgers, they're not winning any less than 10 games. Like, if they win less than 10 games, he probably got hurt somewhere through the year, and he had to make up for it. Like, that's the team that they've always been in. Man, I tell you, man, just being outside looking in as a non-Packer fan, and I, Aaron Rodgers is one of my favorite players to watch. You know, I don't believe in having two teams, but if I ever root for a team in NFC, it's usually the Packers, because I think Aaron Rodgers, because I used to watch a lot of old-school Dolphins games with Dan Marino, and I just honestly, it gives me nostalgia watching him because he plays that great. Like, Aaron Rodgers, the way this man throws the football, I don't think people realize what we're watching, man. Like, the guy, in terms of his arm talent, he's just so great to watch. And, like, he's so accurate. You know, I think right now, I mean, you know, if somebody tells me that they think Brady is the best quarterback in the NFL, I won't argue that, especially considering the guy just won a championship. But I think as of right now, man, it's got to be Aaron Rodgers, man. I think he's the best quarterback in the NFL right now. You know what I mean? Just because.
On a part-time level, yeah.
Yeah,
there's
man.
Certain
I mean,
things
because
that a player can do that other players can't. You know what I'm saying? Even if you
right.
have, I would say you can say Tom Brady is the best pocket quarterback. That
yeah,
would be a more fitting argument. But overall talent, you know, everything, because it's like, okay, they have similar vision. They have, you know, pretty good arms, even though Brady's starting to go away now. But in his prime, you know, he had a pretty good arm. But Aaron Rodgers has an even bigger arm. Awareness in the pocket. They're both great awareness in the pocket.
Yeah,
running and
excellent.
Gunning or running to get first downs, even though Brady, I remember the day he shook Brian Urlacher, and he gave him the juke. But you can't compare the athleticism of Rodgers to Brady. And the biggest change is throwing on the run. I don't think I've ever seen someone throw on the run, or at least in the past 15 years, someone throw on the run like that. That especially that accurate. Like, you might have seen Vic a couple times hit somebody 50 yards down running to his left, but it didn't happen every game five times for three touchdowns. there's some special. He's just a complete package. It's very rare. It's pretty crazy. And he gets like what, 5-6 rushing touchdowns every year.
Yeah,
so
that's
you
forget about
just,
those.
The way he runs the offense, the way he changes the plays, the way he interacts with his entire team, and the guys like got the best personality out of anyone I know in the NFL. Like he's hilarious. I almost want to marry the guy talking about him. You know, it's crazy. He's just that good. You can't hate on a guy that's just that good, and he's the nicest guy. If you hate on Aaron Rodgers, you're a horrible human being. It's almost that to that level. it's beautiful football to watch, and I can't wait. That's it. Him, Jordy Nelson, and the rest of the squad they have. Even Eddie Lacy. Eddie Lacy is awesome. So they're just one of the fun teams to watch, man.
Yeah, that's I can't disagree with anything you just said. And just to add on to it, you being a Cowboys fan, I know you're probably still hurting from that playoff loss, but karma is a bitch, though. They definitely got their karma the following game.
We definitely, I am one of those Cowboys fans that would tell you, we definitely, that was a flag against the Lions and got us right back. But even if that flag had happened, I don't know if we still had a chance to win that game, so I don't want to hear it. But that was definitely
right.
That was definitely karma. That's still a catch, though. Just saying.
Yeah, it was. I think it was a catch.
That's still a catch.
I still think it was a catch. I just thought it was a catch, but you know, the reffing in the NFL has been questionable, even more so.
Oh,
it's been just as questionable when we had the replacement refs. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Also, seeing Julius Peppers go into his 14th or 15th year, that's I love seeing that guy play still even to this day.
He
so,
still plays pretty well for how old he is.
He's pretty damn
know?
Good. It's play on one side and him on the other, and it's great. So
we'll see, man.
Definitely.
And considering that we both pretty much agree that the Packers are the class, obviously, of the NFC North, as long as they have their quarterback in place.
Mm-hmm.
So, and of course, they have so many offensive weapons, you don't even need to bring them up. But the team that has challenged them in recent years, specifically last year, even though they don't have a big piece, the Detroit Lions. They replaced Sue with Haloti Ngata, who was kind of underwhelming with the Ravens last year, which is why they probably didn't
mm-hmm.
mind shipping him over there. So you look at the Lions, and the Lions are just, you know, I think the theme of today's podcast, beside it being both the North teams, I think the theme of this podcast is teams that are very schizophrenic and inconsistent, because I think the Lions, last year they weren't per se, because, you know, they had a pretty good record, but it's really more towards Matthew Stafford. And Matthew Stafford, last year among quarterbacks, he ranked ninth when it came to yards. But he threw 22 touchdowns, 12 picks, had an 85 quarterback rating. I mean, I don't know, man. Matt Stafford, he's just, to me, he's been a big question mark for a while. He had that one season where he threw 45 touchdowns, that lockout season, and he looked like he was going to be the next, like it looked like that division was going to be real serious. Like, that year he threw 45 touchdowns, I was like, damn, this dude's going to be a beast. And it's like, ever since then, it's just, he hasn't really, you know, he just looks like he's just above average at best. He doesn't look like, I don't think Matt Stafford is that impressive as a quarterback. I mean, he's definitely, I mean, if you need a starting quarterback in the league, like, I mean, I remember the other day we tried to name 15 guys, and it was like pulling teeth.
Yeah.
Just to name 12 of them. Forget 15. Just to name 12 guys, it was like pulling teeth. And he was one of the guys that we had to pull from our gums. So, you look at the team, they still have Megatron. I mean, defensively, they're not going to be the same. They're going to be good. I mean, Sue definitely elevated the entire defense, but one player doesn't make an entire defense great. That's what people have to understand.
No.
Like, you know, I was talking with someone at work a few weeks back, and I was telling them, I was like, yo, you know, we were talking about the effect that Sue was going to have, and he was saying that, oh, the Lions defense, I mean, I'm not saying that the Lions defense is going to be, you know, is going to remain top five. But, you know, what about all the years that they've had Sue and their defense was horrible? You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, their defense was horrible until last year because they, one, had good coaching in Terrell Austin, who was a damn good defensive coordinator for them. And two, they finally acquired the guys. They finally got the right amount of talent to fit the scheme that they were trying to run, and it worked. So they're definitely not going to be as formidable considering they lost Fairley. Did they still have Nick Fairley? They lost Fairley, right? I'm pretty sure Fairley left.
I'm gonna double check right
Sue
now.
Sue left. They lost C.J. Mosley because C.J. Mosley is also on the Dolphins now, and he was one of their rotation guys on their defensive line. So
they lost a lot.
Yeah, I mean they let go of a lot of. I mean, for a team that didn't even win a playoff game, they let go of a lot of guys that helped them to get there.
I don't see him. He was a nose tackle. I don't see him on the depth chart.
Yeah. I can't remember who he signed with. I don't remember who he might have went to, but I'm pretty sure he left. But it's crazy, man. You look at the Lions. I mean, the Lions, they performed well last year because they had a defense.
Oh, he's with the Rams.
They were able to
win. He's with the Rams.
Nick Fairley's with the Rams?
Uh-huh.
Oh, Lord. You want to talk about a team that was already freaking
before.
Unbelievable on their defensive line.
So they're
going to
have Nick Fairley and then that rookie from last year that blew it up.
Oh, Aaron Donald? Whew.
Yeah.
Man.
That's their 1-2 with Quinn and oh, man, that's crazy.
Yeah, that Rams defensive line is – they're probably going to be the line that rivals the Bills in terms of just how potent it's going to be. You know what I mean? With Miami being the close third with their defensive line, depending on how they show up. But just looking at the Lions, Ivan, and I took a gander at their schedule. We know that they're playing the West, the AFC West and the NFC
West.
So,
So
looking at their schedule, I was thinking to myself, like I think they're gonna take a step back, man. I honestly think that the Lions. There you go. I was just about to say that. I was gonna say I think they fall back to 500, man. I think Matthew Stafford gets a little exposed without the defense. I think the defense will still be good. It just won't be as effective without Sue's presence.
You know what the thing is? For the past, when's the last time that you remember saying, "Oh, the Lions have a great cornerback" or "the Lions have a great safety"? When's the last time you heard those words coming out of anybody's mouth?
Nah, I can't even remember, man. I mean, I'm with you.
they drafted two cornerbacks, one in the third and one in the sixth. But the thing is, they still don't have anybody there. Like, for safety, they got James Igbo, which has been, you know, a journeyman. You know, he's a guy that can cover, but he's not a star. And then they got Glover
right.
Quinn, which is I think is a pretty good piece. But then, like, cornerback, it's the same problem that they've had every year. Darius Slay and with Josh Wilson, I don't know who the other starting cornerback is. They have a whole bunch of them. Taylor Mays from the Bengals, that's nothing. Like they don't have anybody to really cover, especially in that division where we were talking about all the wide receivers. When they play the Bears, you know, that rookie's going to give them trouble. When they play the Packers, Davante Adams and Randall Cobb are going to go crazy on them. And you know Jordy Nelson is going to get at least 150-yarder on them. Both games, I'm saying 150-yard touchdown from Jordy Nelson. When they play the Vikings, yeah, we know people laugh about Mike Wallace or whatever, but someone needs to cover him. And I'm not
right.
saying he's going to get a touchdown or even a catch, but someone has to be up there covering that guy, which opens up the other guys. Everyone's going to ball
right.
out through the air against the Lions. And everybody nowadays, most people play an air game. So when they play, the Chiefs, they'll have an easier game. But when they play the Broncos, they'll get destroyed. You know, like, so when they have to go through some of these teams, like, they'll do all right against the Niners. But if the Seahawks air it out, they're going to lose that game. So it's in my opinion, they're going to be one of those matchup teams. Like, oh, they play against a run-first team. They have, you know, they might win. But if they play against a team that airs it out, I don't see, you know, first how the Lions going to get to them, because we just talked about it. They lost pretty much everybody. All they have is Ziggy Ansah and
Haloti Ngata
and the guy from the Ravens and Haloti Ngata. I'm looking at the rest of them. I don't really know anybody. Like, it's kind of crazy, dude. Like, they went from having some being really ridiculously strong at something and then just losing it. it's kind of crazy. I do like the new running back that they got, though. The kid from, where's he at?
Amir Abdullah? Yeah.
They got Amir Abdullah from Nebraska. I like that little guy.
Yeah,
but they lost Reggie
good.
Bush. So who's
right.
the starting running back? They got to go through those rotations. Is actually Joey still going to be able to stand up and do what they do? Or are they still going to throw in Theo Riddick half the time because they don't trust Joey? How big of a role is Amir Abdullah going to have later on in the year? They got a lot of question marks. It's going to be one of those teams that if they really, you know, they still have Eric Ebron who needs to develop. Joseph Fourier still gets a lot of touchdowns. They have guys that they're going to have to look at. You know, we know Golden Tate's going to be good. We know Calvin Johnson's going to be good. But the rest of the squad is a giant question mark. Who's going to rise? To me, it's one of those assessment years where the coaching staff is like, okay, halfway through the season, they're going to realize they're not going to make the playoffs. And
right.
evaluate everybody. Evaluate every position. What do we scrap? What do we keep? And this year is probably one of the most vital years for this organization. Like, they have to get this year right. Like, remember how the other day I was talking about in 2 or 3 years, the Vikings? No, for the Lions, it's this year. This is the year where they have to assess everybody and make the right moves. Because if they don't, and, of course, in the next 3 years, they have to get, like, a really good cornerback or a really good safety through draft or whatever. They have to pay Darrell Revis $57 million a year, whatever they got to do. Figure something out, man, because this is ridiculous. It's been forever, dude. Barry Sanders didn't have a good defense with him, and then no good player has ever been here has had a good defense behind them, especially in cornerback and safety. You're like, finally, just get it done. Just do it. Just do it. It's not that hard. Like, I mean, I'm not saying it's not that hard to find somebody, but just put more draft picks, you know, in that. You know, don't waste your number one or your number two. They're a frustrating team. They're really frustrating.
They are, because they're talented enough to be definitely very competitive.
To have a core
in their conference.
Yeah. And
you know?
Back to Stafford, when he throws bad, he's a more talented Jay Cutler, in my opinion. In this sense, he's got the weird throwing mechanism, and if he's in the pocket and he doesn't feel like he's got the space around him just right, he'll put his left foot a little bit to the left, his left foot a little bit to the front. He'll put his body in an awkward position. He doesn't throw every ball the same, ever.
Right.
When someone's to the right, he does that weird, and they're running a slant, he doesn't power it. He turns kind of sideways, and he throws that like weird sidearm with the spin that's kind of low that gets blocked a lot. He does that every time someone's running to the right. Like there's certain throws that he does. Most of the time he's accurate with them, but not every time he's accurate with them because his body is not in the right way. Like, I'm not a quarterback teacher, but every quarterback person who's ever talked about Matthew Stafford has said the same thing. He has to work on his mechanics. And at this point, it's nothing you can change. So he's going to be this way the rest of his career.
Right.
Are there games where
they have to air it out because they're behind 20 points? Yes, and it's going to happen this year more than last year, especially against the Packers. The Packers are going to destroy them, I think. But he just needs, you know, the consistency is never going to be there, and he's going to be one of those guys that's going to be always frustrating to watch. But he's good. That's the thing. He's not, like, we're talking about, he would be in the top 20 for sure. There's times when he's really accurate and he's got that arm and he throws a pass to the left sideline and you say, how the hell did he do that? And then
right.
There's times where he can't complete a curl and he throws it 5 yards short. He's going to be one of those guys. He's just one of the more talented guys to do that.
Yeah, you know what? I definitely got to ride with you, man. I got to piggyback off of what you're saying, man. He's definitely one of the most talented quarterbacks out there. In terms of arm talent, I mean, there probably aren't a lot of people who can make the kind of throws that he can make. But the problem with Stafford is that Stafford isn't really somebody – I don't know the exact numbers right now, but I know that he has a very, very, very poor record against teams that are over 500. See, like, he has a record that's something crazy. Like, it's like 3-60, man. It's like something crazy against teams that are 500. Like, I remember just a couple years back, it was the year before last year, they had a stat that said Matthew Stafford was like I want to believe it said he was like 1-24 against teams that are over 500 in the past, like, since his career started. It was something crazy. And last year he has more wins against teams that are over 500, so, you know, it's probably something like 4 or 5 now. But still, I mean, Matthew Stafford, you know, the man, he comes up small in certain big moments. I mean, he's like one of those guys, man. It's like you said, man, he's maddening to watch because of his talent. When he's on, you can depend on him. But when he is off, you know it's cold for you. You know what I mean? So it's just like, I don't know, man. Is he going to be – the question is, last year it was up to Sue and the Lions defense to carry that team. They were the primary benefactors into them being the solid team that they were last year, you know, the playoff team. Now with Sue being gone, with some of his running mates being gone, with so many changes on the defense, with them, you know, trying to figure things out on that side of the ball, what's going to happen now? Who's going to be the one that the team depends on? Because Matthew Stafford wasn't the guy that he depended on.
No.
It was the defense.
But just from the stat you're talking about, too. They're 3-31 against teams that finish with a winning record. 0-17 against those teams on the road.
Oh, so, wow. 3-31 and 0-17.
And yeah, it is true. He isn't good. He's not good on the road either. That is true.
The thing is, you know
what's funny? I have to watch them no matter what every Thanksgiving, just like everybody does. But I also have to see the Cowboys because that's my team. It's funny because when I remember, think of the early Tony Romo years, that's exactly what Matthew Stafford reminds me of. Because I remember when I watched them, what was it, last year during the playoffs and the year before that during Thanksgiving? I don't remember if it was Thanksgiving, we just played them in the regular season. It was literally the same team playing against each other. defensive mistakes left and right, people in the wrong coverage, the wide receivers didn't know where they were standing. Easy throws, you know, getting missed, the third and something, we needed it, we get it, the relying on the tight end the way that they do. It was honestly like watching the same team. And it's weird because the things with the Cowboys, there's like four little things you have to fix, and it's the same thing with them. I think, though, you know, they have a chance with the coach that they have to be a little bit more stable, especially this being, what, their second year? With the guy that used to coach the Colts.
Jim Caldwell, right?
Yeah, this
Jim
would be
Caldwell.
Second year, right?
Yeah, it would be second.
You know, they have a chance to become a little more stable, but I just it's not going to happen. I don't think so. It's another team that immediately off the bat, you have to say, it might make the playoffs, maybe. And I actually don't have enough playoff team this year. I honestly don't. I do not have enough playoff team. But there's zero chance of them winning. I'm already writing them.
Who, the Lions? You're already giving them no shot, man.
Yeah, no shot, man. And it's sad because, you know, we like them. There's certain consistencies with certain teams that are just too severe, and you can't really put your finger on it sometimes.
Right.
And the whole thing with the flags hasn't changed. They are still one of the most penalized teams, just like the Cowboys.
then they just make stupid mental mistakes in really important situations. So it's just a frustrating team. Chicago and Detroit, man, it's rough for you right now, man.
They're definitely two of the most frustrating teams to watch because you know the latent potential that both of these teams have, and you just don't know if they're ever going to tap into it, you know, just based on some of the personnel they have. Like with the Bears, I don't think the Bears will ever be good until they get maybe not even just a good quarterback, a quarterback who cares, who gives a shit. Like, Jay Cutler doesn't care, you know? Like, when you watch him play, he doesn't – like, he just doesn't – like, literally, Jay Cutler literally comes to – Jay Cutler is the guy – he's the average American. He's the guy who comes to collect his check. That's who he is. He's not going to work to enjoy it like most – I assume most other NFL players do. I mean, you're getting paid to play – you're getting paid not just paid, you know, a little bit of money. You're getting paid millions of dollars to play a sport that you're supposed to love. And when you watch Jay Cutler play football, it just looks like his personality bleeds onto the Bears because the games just get worse as they go on because Jay Cutler just gives less and less fucks, you know. And I'll give Jay Cutler this much. In his early years with the Bears, they got him killed with that offensive line. That offensive line used to be so bad.
He put a lot of emphasis on that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, like that. Like his early years with the Bears, they didn't show him any love with that offensive line. So I could understand then when he stopped caring because it's like, dude, you're getting hit like damn near seven times a game. You know what I'm saying? I could understand, you know, you just not caring by the end of the year because you're hurting. But the offensive line for the Bears isn't that bad anymore. I mean, it's not. It's never been, you know, that solid, but it's not horrible. You know, they literally started building a team around him.
You know what I'm saying? They literally started building a team around him. And then you still don't get a fuck. Come on, man.
They have built a team around him. They've gotten guys on O-line, you know, because they got what's his name? He's one of the offensive linemen. They got a couple other guys, you know, Matt Forte.
They brought on Marshall just for him. They drafted the Alshon Jeffrey just for him. Like, they brought on Martellus so he would have a catching tight end. Because before that, if you think about it, like, the Bears, every tight end that they had was just a blocking tight end, just like the Cardinals.
Right.
All they have is blocking tight end. Just to get a coach just to help you, just to make a system for you that sits down with you and says, what do you like? What do you want to do? What? This is what you have to work on. This is what I want you to do. Let's just talk. Just talk to him. Anything you need, I'll let you run the offense. When you have a coach like that, man, come on. And then you still throw it all away.
Yeah,
it's sad.
I don't know, man.
It's ridiculous.
It is, man. I mean, the guy, he's an enigma, man. I mean, but, you know, I guess it's just how some of these guys are, you know. I mean, even though they're getting paid millions of dollars, they just don't care. I mean, if Jay Cutler cared, I think he might be a little better, but I just don't think he'll ever. He's just one of those guys who, you know, he's just so arrogant enough to where he probably just thinks he doesn't have to change, which is sad because, I mean, he had the arm talent to have a good career, you know. So, but in any case, I'd like to thank Ivan and Greg, who was early on the show earlier, for coming on. I think we covered all these teams pretty damn well this week. I'll be back hopefully next Tuesday with no interruptions at the same time, and hopefully everybody enjoys the rest of their week, and we'll be back talking some more football next week on Tuesday at 12 o'clock, AFC NFC South, the two worst divisions. I'm sure we'll have fun talking about them next week. But I'd like to just thank everybody again, and we'll be back next week.
All right, see you, brother.
All right, take it easy, my man.